Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hotbox. Excited to have you here with us today. We have an incredible episode that we're about to dive into. As you know, it's your girl, Brandi Stankovic. I'm a motivational speaker, executive coach, strategic thinker, and avid volunteer, which will really lead us into our discussion today with the wonderful and beautiful Carly Wund, which we'll learn about here more in just a second. And today's episode is how to fundraise for success. So let's go ahead and dig right in. As you know, we've been doing this podcast for a while now, and I was in a taxi literally this weekend in Mexico City, and I was having a conversation with the taxi driver, and he's like, what is this podcast? What are you up to? Why are you doing what you're doing? And I really framed it in the reference of the Learn, Love, and Kick Ass. And as you know, those are the segments. And really, because that's what it's all about to me. I'm forever a learner, forever ravenous for more, wanting to improve, wanting to be better. And that's how it plays into the Learn section. And then in the Love section, I think that this is so important because business is all about relationships. It's all about who you know, more importantly, who knows you, and what you do about those relationships, how you nurture them, how you create them, how you take them from one level to the next. An example of that, Carly and I, like I said, that we'll get to know here in just a minute, we went to college together, and now we've been able to work together in a different front here many years later. And that's what it's all about, relationships and love. And then finally, of course, we have the kick ass, because honestly, all of this is just a bunch of, it's just a good time until you get out and actually do something about it, right? Got to get out there and kick some ass. Execution is everything. And really, when it comes to podcasts, we want to deliver education in an authentic way. And what I mean by that is sometimes get a little edgy, sometimes deliver it in a way that isn't normal, because that's life from my perspective. We go into the classroom or we go into some academia or some different institutions and things are so formal, like this is what we're supposed to be learning and how we're supposed to do things. And in reality, life just isn't like that. It's messy. It includes cuss words. It's a little bit more direct. And I'm going to ask you to get up off your ass and make things happen, because that's really what makes a difference in a leader's life. So today, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about fundraising for success. And nobody works harder than someone who fundraises. Let's be real. Just a couple quick stats for you. First is that there are over 86,000 foundations in the United States. 86,000 foundations. So there's a lot of different organizations that are raising money to help a certain cause, to help a certain group of people. And I really feel like awareness for certain institutions has gotten viral in the last several years with the help of social media and some different social outlets. And because of that, it's getting to be very competitive and hard to raise awareness with your existing demographic or existing constituency, right? In the fact that, how do you raise funds? How are you seen when we're inundated or oversaturated with so many different efforts? And we all want to philanthropically help people, but what actual impact is made? An example of that is I've worked for Aid for AIDS of Nevada, as you know. And we do a lot of token. Walgreens has been a major partner of theirs and very helpful and, you know, contributor. And they do the tokens at the check, you know, when people are checking out at Walgreens, they'll ask if you want to donate a dollar, et cetera. And it's very, very successful for Aid for AIDS of Nevada. And if someone had asked me from a user consumer perspective, I was just at Whole Foods yesterday. And as I was checking out, she, in a very, you know, like bored voice, is like, would you like to donate a dollar for whatever it is that she was doing? And I thought to myself, you know, no, thank you. But I thought that can't possibly work. But then an example of it working very, very well and successfully is the Walgreens and Aid for AIDS of Nevada example that I gave you. So it's kind of like this thing, you kind of just have to go for it because the world is saturated and people are pretty used to having this stuff in their face. So the fundraising in general is a huge part of a leader's growth and a huge part of the role that a leader plays. And we start very young, right? From the second that we get Girl Scout cookies, which we've all eaten way too many of, to kids, you know, you see it all the time. Would you donate to this for children, for that, to this? And, you know, from that age all the way up, we have some sort of fundraising in our blood and in the business that we do. So really, I've kind of taken it to three things that I want to share, and then we'll transition to our real subject matter expert in this area. The first is that you have to live it, breathe it, be it. And what I mean by that is you have to believe in what you are fundraising for through and through. You have to be that human being. I have worked with organizations where the staff is required to wear a certain branding or something, or certain colors. Or at the Global Women's Network, we wear pink ties. So something that where you visually can tell the person is with the particular volunteer organization. And sometimes I'll come across people that are like, I don't feel like wearing the color. And I'm thinking, that's such a silly thing to be challenging in this moment, because you have to be in it. I don't care. If you really believe in the effort, you would wear whatever color it took in order to make it happen, in order to be more visible for the people that you're reaching out to. So you have to really believe in it. The second, so first, live it, breathe it, be it. The second is to respect the relationship of the people that are donating, giving. I have a couple kind of frames of this. One is what I call the Joe Dearborn effect. So when he hears this, I haven't told him that I'm creating an effect, you know, based on his name, but I call it the Joe Dearborn effect. And what I mean by that is he is a gentleman that is the head of the Children's Miracle Network hospitals in a certain frame of reference with financial institutions. And he's fantastic. He, every time you're around him, he makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world. And guess what? When he calls and asks you to write a check, you do it. It's just all there is to it. And when you walk around and you see him, he makes it a point. He builds that relationship. He really believes in the relationships and people that he serves. And that's really, really powerful. The opposite end of that is I, as you know, went to the University of San Diego. And I'm kind of pushing myself out on a limb here. So just, you know, go with it, listen, absorb, because it's a valid point, but it's something that's very real to me. So I went and got my MBA at the University of San Diego, loved my experience there, loved all of the cohorts and counterparts that I have, the relationships that I created while I was there. And I applied to my doctorate program. So I applied to many schools, as I always do. I apply way out of my pay grade, way out of my realm or my field. And then, of course, I applied to all the different schools as well. So I also applied to the University of San Diego. And I didn't make it in to their PhD program. It just didn't fit the qualifications or whatever. That's less of the point, but the point that I want to make in it is they sent me just a postcard, like a kind of ripped postcard of, yo, you didn't make it. And I thought to myself in that moment, I've spent $50,000 on a master's at your organization, and you can't pick up the phone and say, hey, yeah, you just don't meet the bill. I mean, really? And I'm going to say probably because of the fact that I am putting this out on air on iTunes and everything, but I probably will never donate to them again. And that happened. Right. And I thought to myself in that moment, where I have a relationship with the University of Nevada, Reno, with Pepperdine, where I will give as much as they gave to me because I just believe in those institutions. But when that happened, it kind of burned that relationship. Again, not that I didn't make it in. I didn't make it into a lot of places. I can say very comfortably that I was not qualified for that particular program. But getting a ripped up postcard, I feel like as an alumni, I deserved a little bit more than that because a relationship was there. The final thing I want to kind of transition to before we move it over and hear from Carly is the idea of telling a story. So I told you about live it, breathe it, be it. I told you about respect the relationship. And the third one is really about the storytelling. An example of that is the University of Nevada, Reno. So opposite on the spectrum from university giving, they have this phone-a-thon program where all the students will call and talk to alumni and ask them how they're doing, what's their jobs going, how things are happening. And then they reinvigorate the senses when it comes to the relationship with the campus and the university and all of that. And through that program, I was reintroduced to the University of Nevada. And I want to give a special shout out to Stephanie Givens and Carrie Boucha, who are people that have I've created relationships with over the last couple of years. And I want to continue to give and want to give more than just my money, but my time and my energy to the university. And that's all done by these students that are going out of their way to create a relationship with the alumni as well, and not just always asking for dollars. And so I find that program to be really powerful, and it allows them to tell a story of what's happening in the university now and keeps us connected. Another example of the story is kind of framed in the firefighter realm, which we are going to dive into here. And that is, I work with San Diego Firemen's Relief and Firefighter Aid, and has chosen a profession. When he gets older, he would like to be a firefighter. And that is what he wants to be when he grows up. Although it goes between that and and Rockstar. So we're in Metallica phase right now. I don't know. But all those things played together is beyond me. But it was Firefighter last year when he was in kindergarten. And so we had an opportunity for him to do a little presentation. And so we asked one of the firefighters to read the book that he drew out and colored. And one of Carly's cohorts, and with the help of Carly, did that for him. And I want to share that with you now. So Scott, will you please play the firefighter video?
Hey, my name's Rob. I'm a San Diego City firefighter. And I want to tell you about my friend James. James is 6 years old, and he wants to be a firefighter when he grows up. James also has a family. They're pretty rad too. And James tells me he wants to be a firefighter mostly because firefighters race around in a really cool truck. This is true. But also because we save people's lives. This too is true. Firefighters put out fires, they help people in car accidents, and they respond to emergencies when people call 911. Firefighters are best friends with doctors, policemen, and dogs. That's pretty cool, James. I like that. And a firefighter is like a superhero without a cape. Hey, James, I really appreciate you saying all those really nice things about firefighters. And I hope that one day you can come and join us and race around on that really fast truck.
And you see how delicious and beautiful my little guy is and how happy he was to have a real life firefighter speak to him. And that relationship that Rob created in that moment is a forever one. And I want to donate and give and be a part of everything that Carly is doing, the organization is doing, based on that which was created. And it's obviously taking it to the next generation as well and creating a relationship with my son as well. Oh, it just warms me up inside. So now let's get down to the good stuff. And that's talking to Carly One. She's the Director of Development at Firefighter Aid and an event producer, creator, person of magic. You really do create a lot of magic, especially for the San Diego 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb. She has her bachelor's in advertising with a minor in photography, which is very cool. And I totally can see that with your photography. And advisory board member for the Psych Armor Institute. And of course, a wife and mommy of two little delicious girls. Yes. So thank you for being here. Hello, Carly.
Hello, Brandy. Thank you so much for having me. Although after introduction, I don't know why I'm here because you did a phenomenal job at covering everything. You literally left me with nothing to talk about.
Well, that was really amazing. Well, thank you. And I'm excited to hear, I know, like starting with a compliment is like the best way to start. Like we should have been here to just have you hang out in the studio more often. So tell us a little bit about your journey in leadership and in fundraising.
So I started my journey in fundraising as a volunteer. It was about 4 years ago. I was actually pregnant with Ella, and a friend of mine who is married to a firefighter said to me, "Do you want to come volunteer at this event?" I said, "Yeah, sure. That sounds like kind of cool. What's the event?" "Well, it's the San Diego 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb." "Cool. What do they do?" "Well, they have firefighters climb 110 flights of stairs to symbolize the World Trade Center."
Oh, that's right. Okay, so September 9/11.
So this is the 9/11 stair climb. And I was like, "Well, that's kind of cool. I want to climb. I want to do 110 flights of stairs." And of course, the husband was like, "No, you're pregnant. You're not climbing. You can go."
I love that that's your first thought. Like, I want to climb 100. I'm pretty sure that's never come to my mind.
It just sounded so cool, you know?
And I was absolutely. Like, oh, the cause,
I mean,
yeah.
9/11 hit all of us, you
absolutely.
Know? And it affected us. And I was like, wow, that's, I had never heard of anything like that.
Sure.
And it just sounded so cool. And I was like, I want to climb. So unfortunately, husband put the kibosh on that. So
did he climb in your...
He did not. And he's yet to climb, actually. He's still never climbed.
So that just happened.
I just called him out. Sorry, husband. I still love you. Anyway, so I was up there on the 30th floor. It was at the Hilton Bayfront down in San Diego. And the Hilton's only 30 flights. And so they climb... They do the three times, you know, to equal 110 flights of stairs.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I know that. Okay.
I'm up on the 30th floor and I'm standing there and I'm just handing out high fives. And firefighters climb in full gear. So they've got their
wow.
BA. It's, you know, 65, 70 extra pounds is what
really
they're wearing.
Wow.
And they're soaking with sweat. It smells like smoke because their gear, you know, they've just come off shift. And I'm standing there giving these guys high fives and they're soaking with sweat and I'm watching all of this happen. And I'm just, it hit me. I have to be part of this organization and what they do. And I was so moved by it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next week I find myself at lunch with the president and vice president of the organization of Firefighter Aid. And I'm like, "Okay, guys, here's my resume. These are things I can do. Where can you put me in this organization? Like, I have to
Good
be a part
you.
Of this.
I love that. I love how assertive your approach in that.
And it took me 2 years to get in there.
Really?
You know, I started as an independent contractor and mm-hmm. worked my way up and started helping with the stair climb and small events and doing social media for them. And they, you know, they never gave themselves enough credit, being that our board is working firefighters. They never gave themselves enough credit. And they were like, you know what? We do need someone like you. We do need help. But they were doing a great job at what they were doing. But I believe I was able to help them take the event and the organization to the next level. So,
well, that's amazing. Yeah. So I talked a little bit about storytelling, and thank you again to you and Rob for you know, participating in that. It definitely made James's life, you know, it really did. Like, he was on air. If we didn't make the switch to Metallica, well, mommy does love Metallica. So it's a balance of love between Metallica and Firefest. Who doesn't love Metallica? I mean, let's be real. So what role does storytelling play then?
Storytelling is so important because it puts your donor, your fundraiser, the person who you are reaching out to, in the position to feel like they can help. Mm. Because everyone wants to help someone, right?
Uh-huh.
You want to feel like you've done something good. Like, it makes you feel good to help people. And through storytelling, you can really get there. You can pull on their emotions, and you can let them know what it feels like to be in that situation. Because
mm-hmm.
maybe I've never been a firefighter battling cancer, or, you know, I don't have a child who has cerebral palsy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it is to live that way.
Sure.
And to be able to storytell and get them into that moment. And that's mm-hmm. when they're moved to donate, is when they feel connected to the person in the story.
I absolutely love that. And what the way that you're describing and articulating now plays into what I was saying with the University of Nevada too, and the way the students
are like,
they make you feel like you're a part of the university again, or a part of the continuation of the university.
That's wonderful.
And growth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what motivates people to give then? When have you seen people be the most motivated? Like, yes, I need to be a part of this.
Honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with my energy and my passion. I believe that if I do my job well, I never have to ask people for money. You're going to feel it from me and from my passion mm-hmm. that you're like, I want to give to this cause. I want to donate, because they just get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer. I mean, no one likes to ask for money. That's not something that's fun to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we do. And I do it because I believe in it.
Right.
I believe in the cause, and I believe in what I'm doing. So,
and it's making a difference.
And I see that difference every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day I see a difference.
That's amazing. And so how do people give, or in general, and fundraising in general, how is social the best kind of realm anymore when it comes to giving?
Social is good. You know, it's always changing too with social media and with just different ways to get a hold of people. And, you know, the phone call is great. The events, you know, that's why I love the stair climb, because people, you know, this year
feel
we had 1,100 people climb,
mm-hmm.
and that's the most we've ever had in our 6 years of doing the event. But you can have a civilian climbing alongside a firefighter in full gear. You can have your two sons climbing, and they're looking up at this firefighter carrying a hose, gear, all this sweating, and they know that's what a firefighter does on a daily basis. You and I are sitting at a desk. This is our job, right?
Right.
They are
the ones actually out in the field
doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making it happen. So what can a person that's new, so if you could give yourself, when you first got into fundraising, advice, what can somebody new coming into it do to make a difference?
You know, that's a great question, because fundraising wasn't around when I was in school. I mean, it was, but there
not
wasn't
the same level,
not the
for
nonprofit
sure.
sector mm-hmm. like it is now. And, I feel
that just aged you.
So I think what's important, and I feel is something that what I did, is just use your heart, believe in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to go sell copy machines, I can't do that.
Right.
I don't feel it with my heart. And there's a million organizations out there. You know, what works? What sings to you? What moves you? Is it animals? Is it elderly? Is it children? Is it firefighters?
So passion
mm-hmm. and your heart,
mm-hmm.
because That's what makes you be transparent. Mm-hmm. Show people.
Authentic.
Be mm-hmm. authentic. Be transparent. Be real. Be honest. And that's what people like. Mm-hmm. That's what donors like.
Right.
They get, you know, people who have money
inundated.
And donors mm-hmm. every single day from this and that and this and that. Be different. Stick out.
Right.
But be you.
Be
and
you.
Be authentic.
I love that. And you also said energy earlier, which I think I sing.
It's a huge part.
It's so important because if you're not excited about it, why in the world would I be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that.
And passion.
Exactly.
Energy and passion.
Hand
it's
in
like
hand. That love. What experience, lesson, disaster, what's something that's happened to you that you've learned from, you know, that you want to share with us?
So I really wish I had something super amazing, you know, that would be, you know, my storytelling and all that stuff. I do have a funny story that happened. I went to a donor's home. Uh-huh. I was invited to her home, very wealthy woman that lives in Rancho San Fe, you know, very nice
area.
Part of
uh-huh.
San Diego. And I went to her home and I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very nervous and because it was just her and I. And so I'm there at her home and she starts saying she was very friendly with me and very open, which was great. We were having a great connection, great conversation. And she starts talking about this award that she wants to show me. So we're in her living room and then she pulls me into her office and she's trying to look and dig for this award and everything. So we're in her office and then she goes, you know what? Oh, there and the things that she's throwing around is photos of like her and the first lady and, you know,
whoa.
All these things. And you're just like, oh my gosh. Okay. Right. This is what I'm dealing with right now. And so then she grabs my hand, she pulls me into her closet and she had the award sitting in her closet, but I'm sitting here looking around at shoes and purses and all of this. And I'm like, play it cool, Carly. You've been here before. Like,
right, did you get a little fangirl on this woman at this time?
So then I was like, oh, I really like your Louis or whatever,
right,
you
yeah.
know? And then she takes this Cartier bracelet that has a gold screwdriver that you have to use to put it. And she starts putting her jewelry and stuff on me.
On you?
On me.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I was like, stuff that I will never see in my lifetime ever.
Right.
Well, I got to see it, but I will definitely never own that jewelry or anything.
Right.
But, and I think the moral of that story is just be ready for anything.
Anything.
And just roll with the punches. I definitely,
did
when
you
I
slip
showed
the
up,
Cartier into
no.
your...
no.
Just joking.
I mean, no, be honest, be transparent.
Right.
You know, you can ask for the Cartier, but you don't just take it.
Right.
But I think that just goes to show that in this line of work, you never know what you're going to do,
right.
but just be there and live in it and be ready to know, you know, if
right.
a lady pulls you into her closet and starts throwing jewelry on you,
hey,
then it was a good
usually
day.
The good money's in the closet.
I mean, I know
right?
there's like
the
a
good
safe
stuff's in
and
the closet.
Stuff in there. So I was like, yeah. So anyway.
So give us an action item or a takeaway. Leave the listeners or the viewers with one thing that they can start doing differently today.
Start doing differently for fundraising?
Yeah, or? Just in down this realm, some lesson that you've learned or action
just
item.
Love what you do. If you don't love your job or what you're doing, don't do it. It's not worth your time.
You only
it's
live
not,
once. Yeah.
You only live once. And it's just, I love my job. I love what I do. I had such an emotional day yesterday at firefighter with cancer, like all these things I saw and I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cried, I laughed, I had a hard day, I had a good day, but just love with you what you do and have it be part of your passion. And if it's not, go do something else
mm-hmm.
because it's not worth it. It's
it
not worth
yeah.
it. And you're just wasting your time if you don't love to do it.
It's so true. So if someone wants to give to firefighter aid, be part of the 9/11 stair climb,
volunteer.
Or get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Just come to firefighteraid.org. All our social media buttons, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can just get a hold of us. Everything
the
is
website.
Up on the website. So yeah, that's where we are. And I would love to hear from people and just how to get involved and, you know, what we're doing for firefighters. I love to talk. So
excellent.
Yes.
Well, and I urge all the listeners and viewers to be able to do that because I'm moved by some of the stories that you share
thank
and continue
you.
To share with me. So thank you very much
thank
for
you,
being
Brandy.
Here. Let's get out
thanks
to our shout out.
Hey, this is Mike Lawson with CU Broadcast. We just arrived here in Belfast, Ireland, and you might want to check out Brandy Stankovic at the Strategic Hot Box. Check it out.
Bye. thank you to Mike Lawson for that shout out. And if you ever want to give us a shout out, please do send it our way. You can go get more information on that at thestrategichotbox.com. And thank you again to Carly for being here and being amazing, kind of spirit and passion. I feel like I'm roaring and ready to go. I love being inspired or being around people with high levels of energy, and it just kind of gets me going. But now, as you know, it's your favorite time. Now it's time to kick some ass. Here are your top five. Number one is back to my live it, breathe it, be it. Carly framed it as passion. You have to believe in what you're doing, she says, or get out there and do something else. But you got to believe in it. And when you do believe in it, live it. Live it full out. Be a part of it. Be it and breathe it. Number two is respect the relationship. So do the Joe Dearborn thing, right? Get out there and get to know people, understand the relationship, and understand what they also go through to donate. One of the times that I was working with Aid for AIDS here in at a local convention in Vegas, I was there at a booth and some woman came up and didn't have any money, but pulled out like a dollar and some change out of her purse and said, "I don't have any money, but you saved my brother's life and I will give you everything I have." And she gives us like these dollars and this change. And I thought to myself, OMG, I mean, that is so powerful. And I think that got to respect that relationship. She may not be able to give at that level, but she might be able to volunteer her time or just spread the story and love of the message of who you impact and how you make a difference. Number three is to create besties. Carly framed it in a very cool way of just saying getting out there and building relationships with the community and the people that shoot in different donors, but also just having those relationships with people that are out there, because donors matter and they want to be part. They want to feel like they're a part of it, which is kind of cool with the way that they frame it with Firefighter Aid and the 9/11 stair climb. But then you're in it. You're feeling like you're a part of it. Also true when I was giving you the University of Nevada example, it's creating the relationship with the people that will give back. Number four, tell the story. I think that we see that in so many different examples. The more powerful the story, the better it is to give. You feel like you know what you're giving to, you know what you're being a part of, and it does create its own viral kind of message from there. And finally, number five is challenge the golden rule. And I may have said this to you before, but it's worth saying again. Challenge the golden rule. And what I mean by that is the golden rule, as you know, is do unto others as you'd have done unto you, right? Well, I say challenge that. And what I mean by that is don't do unto others as you want done unto you. Do unto others like they want to be done unto. Do unto me like I want to be done unto. Right? And what I mean is, and when it comes to donors, when it comes to fundraising, give people what they want. Give particular demographics, give your membership, give the people that are out there, your constituents, exactly what they need in order to make the decisions that they will to give to your organization. Give them the tools necessary. Give them like they want it, not like it should be done or we did at other organizations or any of that. Challenge the golden rule. There's so much saturation that's out there in the market. We're inundated. Carly said it. I was talking about it. But, just like Carly said, be you, do you. Be authentic, challenge a golden rule, and give it to them just like they want it. That's your top five, your Strategic Hot Box top five kick ass. Thank you again to Carly for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So fun to hear the stories. If you'd like to talk about, or if we'd like us to tackle different topics here in the Hot Box, please send them our way. You can do that at podcast@strategichotbox.com. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter. That's @BrandiLove, V-R-A-N-D-I-L-U-V, or Instagram @StrategicHotbox, or on Facebook. Lots of you are out there with us on Facebook, so thank you for that. For ongoing access to me and executive coaching tools, leadership development exercises, worksheets, books, and a network of people that are just making things happen, come over and hang out with us at thestrategichotbox.com. Until next time, get out there and kick some ass.